Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning. Hi there, it's Mary Lou. Who's here? Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Hi, Ruth.
Here, look.
Oh, good. Thank you. Busy girl. We've got, it sounds on the phone. Now we've got another one.
Just a couple more. If you want to use them.
Yeah, that's me, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Another beautiful day.
Yes. Okay, I wasn't sure. I didn't do any study on those last couple ones. I do love this. I like to do the, kind of back to basics. So, good morning, Doug. Good morning, Ruth. And we have a couple of other people, I think, that have joined us. What was that?
I said they're still coming along. Hello, hello, everybody.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Monty. Okay, well, Ruth, could we go back to just our basics, because I'm not sure who all is in here, and then I would love to cover this article about when's the best time to eat, when I get to those five little points or whatever. So, good morning, everybody. It's a little after 8 o'clock here in Arizona. And I want to welcome you to the Health Style Call, and our mission is to teach and support the practice of habitual health choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And if you are on the WebEx, somebody's making a lot of noise there. Okay, if you're in a noisy spot, if you could star 6, that'd be super. Anyway, we've got different people that host these calls different days of the week, and more than anything, I think this has been probably the best mastermind group I've ever come across, because I've learned an awful lot in the, what? How long have we been doing this, Ruth? Will it be 2 years?
It's in January, so I guess this is our 11th month.
Okay. So, anyway, Ruth put this together. I was very intrigued when she was talking about anti-inflammation, and because I know that a lot of the problems with diseases are, they're finding out, heart disease and so forth, has all got to do with inflammation going on in the body. And boy, she's good at jumping around on these. Anyway. What are some of the things, the contributing factors for inflammation? Well, you can see a bad acidic diet and stress and toxins in the air, water, and just everywhere. So we are addressing all of these things, and welcome to the call. We kind of base our program on striving to get 10 points a day, get as close as we can to that a day. And, of course, I'm going to go over this real briefly, but this is Monday, so we kind of go back to the basics. The important thing is to get enough PIMED water in your body a day, and that really should be 2 to 3 quarts a day. Measure it out. This 8-ounce servings is good. That's a couple quarts, I think. Yep, it is. And, we lose water just in our perspiration and, just breathing. So we need to drink our water. Good rule of thumb, half your body weight in ounces. And if you live in a hot area, although it's not been hot here the last couple of days, it only got in the low 60s yesterday. but if you live in a hot area or if you exercise a lot, make sure that you have additional PIMAG water besides that. And here's a nice little place where you can just check off the boxes. I move pennies on my counter from one side to the other so I can keep track of my water. Nikken sleep, we do know that sleep is probably the most important thing that we can do for our body, because if we're not getting good sleep, it's just a matter of time, and you know, something's going to be out of kilter in your body. That sleep is when you rest, when you restore. That's when your body's getting rid of toxins and stress. And also, it's a great time for fasting, which you're going to talk a little bit about today. So Negan sleep for 7 or 8 hours a night is really, really important. Exercise. Far too many people anymore, including me, sit too long. And we need to get up and move around. And so exercise is important, at least 30 minutes. And you can break that down into, you know, 3 10-minute or a couple of 15-minute. And I like to walk. My exercise of choice is walk. Reading a bit about, what is it, burst walking or whatever. I haven't gotten into that yet, I don't think. Although Larry says that you all of a sudden started going faster when we're out on a walk, so maybe I do. But anyway, exercise. We've got to keep moving. Okay, then we want to definitely take our nutritionals. And here's a list of them, and oh my gosh, I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, but Negan did post Roger Drummer's talk from the leadership conference, and I posted it up on Facebook. It's absolutely, I thought for a 10-minute talk, boy, oh boy, did he ever cover, you know, a lot of good things. One thing he did say, and this had to do with the progesterol, because I've noticed some amazing, you know, things when the last time I had my blood work done, and I have been taking the progesterol. But he, in that talk, he talked about common food. He said, here's a common food that has better clinical trial in every phase of heart disease than any drug ever tested in modern medicine. And that had to do with, he said, with blood pressure, blood cholesterol, blood sugar. So anyway, we'll be talking more about progesterol because I think it's wonderful. And then journaling. And the important thing is we want to keep track of what it is that we're doing on a daily basis. And this is actually a pretty good journal right here. If you just, you know, mark this stuff down, little tiny boxes, or you can flip the sheet over. The important thing is knowing how you feel after you've eaten, how you're feeling throughout the day, maybe how you're feeling if you've, you know, maybe you're not hungry, maybe you're going long periods of time without eating. How do you feel? Because nobody knows your body better than you do. Nobody. Not the doctor. Nobody knows your body as well as you do. So I think the journaling is really, really, really important. Okay, so if you get that far, you got 5 points. The rest all has to do with our food. And those of us that want to release some pounds do have a smoothie at least once a day, some twice, and we make very, very good smoothies with adding fruit and oh, good fats and all kinds of things to our body balance shake. So that can be one or two of your meals of day. Okay, so Ruth knows I really struggle with what I'm going to talk about, but she gave me a great article today to mention. And so this one today is going to be on, can when we eat affect our health? When's the best time to eat? Intriguing new research is adding weight to the notion that when you eat could be just as important as what you eat, and possibly even more so. You're probably aware your body runs on a regular circadian rhythm that coincides with when you sleep and when you wake. Each of our organs, including our liver, muscle, fat, and gut, have their own clock, and certain organs work best at different times of the day. Earlier studies support the premise indicating that nighttime eating may contribute to weight gain. The latest study took us a step further and showed that nighttime fasting could be a powerful weight loss tool. You know, have you ever, I mean, I've spent a lot of money on weight loss programs throughout my life, and the one I ever got the best results with, one of the things was is never put anything in our mouth after I think it was 7 o'clock at night. And so, that's a good, rule of thumb, because then you probably are up and moving around by 7 the next morning. I should have asked if anybody had any questions before I get into this. Anybody have any questions about those other points, steps, or comments?
I would make a comment after you get finished with this part.
Okay. Okay. So, researchers from Salk Institute fed mice a high-fat, high-calorie diet but altered when they were able to eat it. And one group had access to food both day and night, while the other group had access to food for only 8 hours and at night. The most active period for mice is at night. That would mean eating only for 8 hours during the day. And then despite the consuming the same number of calories, the mice that had access to food for only 8 hours stayed lean and did not develop health problems like high blood sugar or chronic inflammation. They even had improved endurance, motor coordination on the exercise wheel. And the all-day access group, on the other hand, became obese and were plagued with health problems, including high cholesterol, high blood sugar, fatty liver disease, and metabolic problems. So this suggests that our body may benefit from the break it receives while fasting, whereas constant eating may lead to metabolic exhaustion and health consequences like weight gain. Researchers said their latest work shows it's possible to stave off metabolic disease by simply restricting when you eat with periodic fasting, or even by just keeping to regular meal schedules rather than grazing on and off all day. Intermittent fasting may be a secret to optimal health and weight loss. Because the research combined with other compelling pieces of evidence, this is from Dr. Mercola, by the way. Dr. Mercola says, I have revised my personal eating schedule to eliminate breakfast and restrict the time I eat food to about 7 to 8 hours, which is typically from noon to 6 or 7. Just seems to make sense that our ancestors rarely had access to food 24/7 like we do, and our genes are optimized for intermittent fasting. And it takes about 6 to 8 hours for our body to metabolize your glycogen stores, and after that you actually start to shift to burning fat. However, if you're replenishing your glycogen by eating every 8 hours, you make it far more difficult for your body to use your fat stores for fuel. It's long been known that restricting calories in certain animals can increase their lifespan by as much as 50%, but more recent research suggests that sudden and intermittent calorie restriction appears to provide the same health benefits as constant calorie restriction, which may be helpful for those who cannot successfully reduce their everyday calorie intake or they're not willing to. Okay. It says fasting has been used as a spiritual practice in many cultures since ancient times, but it might have been done for health purposes as well. Modern science has confirmed there are many health reasons for fasting. Okay, here's why we want to fast. Normalizing your insulin sensitivity, which is key for optimal health, as insulin resistance is a primary contributing factor to nearly all chronic disease, from diabetes to heart disease, and even cancer. I didn't look up this. Is it ghrelin, G-H-R-E-L-I-N levels? That might be G-H like in the word enough. Normalizing ghrelin levels, that's also known as the hunger hormone. Promoting human growth hormone, HGH production, which plays an important part in health, fitness, and slowing the aging process. Well, I want to slow mine down. Also lowering triglyceride levels, reducing inflammation, and lessening free radical damage. And they had a animal study published in the International Journal for Endocrinology, showed a beneficial glycemic effect that resulted in a lower gain in body weight than in non-fasting animals. Other research suggests fasting triggers a variety of health-promoting hormonal and metabolic changes similar to those that occur when you exercise, which may prevent health or age-related brain shrinkage and other chronic and debilitating diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. As for weight loss, here are three studies from recent years investigating fasting for weight loss. I'm not going to talk about those. But exercising while fasting may be most beneficial of all. Recent research suggests fasting before exercise may help you to achieve your fitness results faster by forcing your body to shed fat. That might be why Ruth gets on that trampoline or runs or gets herself moving before she eats. This happens because your body's fat-burning processes are controlled by your sympathetic nervous system, and that's activated by both exercise and lack of food. This combination of fasting and exercising maximizes the impact of cellular factors, which force the breakdown of fat and glycogen for energy. So,
could you tell me that again? I listened, but I didn't. I needed to sink in a little bit.
This last part, exercising
yeah.
while fasting?
Right.
Okay. They suggest fasting before exercise may help you achieve your fitness results faster by forcing your body to shed fat. You exercise before, let me see, fasting before you exercise. You exercise before you eat. So you've fasted before you exercise, right?
Before I go to bed, and that would be the fasting period he's talking about, of course, is all night.
Yeah.
Making a longer night. Stretching out the time when you're not eating. Okay, so if I don't exercise before I go to bed, I can count that I will not lose any weight overnight. When you usually lose them, or since the next morning. From morning to morning is when I weigh. And so if I don't exercise, I will either gain at least a half a pound or I will lose nothing. And if I exercise on that little trampoline, for just a ramp it up to burn. I mean, it's probably less than 5 minutes. I'm not a very patient person, and so I can almost count on I'll lose at least a half a pound, no
wow.
matter what I eat. But
okay, well, it says right here is that if you're doing that, okay, because you exercise.
Yeah, it's after that I didn't understand exactly what you said. About.
Okay, it's a combination of fasting and exercises, and exercising maximizes the impact of cellular factors and catalysts, which force the breakdown of fat and glycogen for energy. It forces the breakdown of fat and glycogen for energy.
Okay. So glycogen, we learned when we did this before, it's a hormone that tells the body to burn fat versus insulin, which tells our body to store fat.
Right.
And so you're saying that this maximizes that glycogen to tell the body to burn the fat. Is that what you said?
Yeah. This happens because your body's fat-burning processes are controlled by your sympathetic nervous system. And your sympathetic nervous system is activated by both exercise and lack of food.
Okay.
So the combination of fasting and exercising maximizes the impact of cellular factors and catalysts. So it forces the breakdown of fat and glycogen for energy.
Hmm.
Okay. Many find it works out well to skip breakfast, exercise, and then break their fast after working out, which would allow you to get the best of both worlds. The benefits of working out in a fasted state and protein loading for recovery about a half an hour to an hour afterwards. So on the days that Dr. McCullough exercises in the morning, he might have two scoops of protein powder 30 minutes after the workout to provide those nutrients. It says, fasting may indeed push your exercise program to the next level, too. The reason for this is because exercise and fasting yield acute oxidative stress, which is actually essential for maintaining our optimal muscle. Fasting does not...
Can you tell me that again?
What part about the muscle?
That last sentence.
Fasting may indeed push your exercise program to the next level. Oh, the reason for this is because exercise and fasting yield acute oxidative stress, which is actually essential for maintaining optimal muscle. So a little bit of that stress is good.
Okay.
I think I knew that in the times when I've had personal trainers. I'm thinking that they're killing me, and actually it's helping. Okay, so it says, fasting does not mean abstaining from all foods for extended periods of time, because that can be dangerous and counterproductive. Rather, intermittent fasting is a dramatic reduction of calorie intake at regular intervals. So whether you opt for a 16-20 or a 24-hour fast once, twice a week, or fasting every other day, or simply delaying certain meals, such as skipping breakfast and exercising on an empty stomach.
You know why this interested me, Mei Lu, is because I have been told all my life to eat my breakfast, and every time I always did, it made me feel yucky.
Yep.
And so... this is very interesting to me. I always feel better when I don't eat until 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, fasting just gives me so, oh, I'm going to be hungry. But this I just think it's just a long night. And I don't know how this is going to work for a diabetic person. But I have never really had a serious weight problem unless I was overeating, obviously. I guess that was what you would say, but if I stayed this, and I hadn't until we took that other program and we started eating a snack in the evening, never eaten in the evening after 6 or so, and now I still have a hard time breaking that habit, but I'll work on that. But this has really worked well for me, and I don't know if it will work well for everyone. It's just eat at 10 or 11 and then exercise before I go to bed. And if I did get all my exercises in the rest of the time, but I do run up and down the stairs a lot, as you guys know. But it works for me, and so I was wondering if it might help other people.
Well, I've always felt guilty if I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I've always felt guilty if I did wait until 10 or 11 o'clock to eat. But I never wanted to eat before then because I'm never hungry. And I get my best work done early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit more here. It said there's many options that you can discover works best for you by listening to your body.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, he says, listen to your body. And on going slow, work your way up to full day fast. If your normal schedule has included multiple meals a day, which we've been talking about, those 3 meals and a couple of snacks. Or try ending your meals earlier in the evening or late afternoon and fast overnight while you sleep. Okay? If you're hypoglycemic, diabetic, or pregnant and breastfeeding, you need to be extra cautious when fasting and may be best served to avoid it entirely. Until you've normalized your blood glucose and insulin levels or weaned your baby. But if you're healthy, intermittent fasting is likely to give your health a boost, especially if you've already mastered a nutritious diet, which really should be your first step. It says when you cut out or delay meals for fasting purposes, it becomes all the more important to maximize the nutrients when you do eat. Fasting combined with a highly processed, toxic, rich diet is not going to do your health any favors. And so we definitely, you know, want to eat our healthy foods, our good nutrition when we are eating. So any questions or comments on that?
Well, about the blood sugar, one thing I do, I do have the three little almonds or however many almonds because of my hypoglycemia tendency. So most of the time I can do without those, especially if I'm exercising.
Well,
everybody think about this. How do you think this would work for you? And I think we're mostly just talking about a long night. That's your fasting.
Well, I read an article, I think it was Dr. Merkel came out with something like this some time ago. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
And I read it, and I thought it made total sense to me, so I switched to it. And what I mean by switch to it is that I try to not eat any later than 5 o'clock in the evening. First of all, I'll say I'm a diabetic. I try not to eat any time after 5 o'clock. I always try to have my meal before 5 o'clock. I then don't have anything at all until probably 9 o'clock in the morning. So I've got a pretty long fast right there. Then I eat a big, what you all would probably consider a humongous breakfast. Then I, at around 2 o'clock or 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I have probably what you would consider a snack. And then I don't eat again till probably around, like I said, between 4 and 5 o'clock in the evening. And I found two things have happened. I am continually losing weight, but what is more important to me as a diabetic is I've found that when I take my blood sugar at approximately just before I go to bed at night, my blood sugar has been ranging anywhere from 90 to 110. That has brought me to the point because I don't have to, some nights I don't even take insulin now, because if I take insulin, and my blood sugars are that low prior to going to bed, I do drop into low blood sugar. So I'm finding that what Mary Lou and Ruth are talking about here is exactly working very well for me. And even though I'm a diabetic and I don't get that snack at before I go to bed or whatever, I'm doing very well on this particular type of a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Now, perfect. He's going 16 hours from about 5 p.m. till 9 a.m. He's going about 16 hours, right?
Yeah. Right, and I'll be honest,
he's had to finish eating.
Yeah, and I find that I don't during the night frame the latest I eat is 5 o'clock, that I don't get hungry. I feel very good, and I think and for me the large breakfast really binds me over for almost the entire day, except for that snack around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow, boy, Monty, that's great to hear, because you know, I too, when I read this, was wondering how it would affect diabetics, and he even warns on that. But of course, you're listening to your body, you've been eating healthy, and boy, you watch your blood sugar really, really close. And I know when you are eating, you're eating what's healthy for you.
Yep, I take my blood sugar twice a day. I get up, well, after the call here now, I'll take my blood sugar and see what it is there, and if I feel that based upon what I eat, I might give myself a small dosage, or I won't do nothing. But then if I don't give my insulin in the morning, I will check it just before my snack in the afternoon.
Wow.
I'm getting great results with this fasting, particularly at night. I mean, eating early than probably most people could, because they either have spouses or families or whatever. But I just love the cycle that I've gotten into, and I'm finding it's working very well for me, even being a diabetic. But I would strongly suggest that most people that are when they do start this program, and that is to check their blood sugars at least two or three times a day as they're going through the learning how to eat this way.
Wow. Wow, that's very impressive.
Yep.
I have a question, Monty. Are you a type 1 or a type 2?
Type 2.
Type 1's
really got to... You really got to be more aware of your insulin situations, because type 1s need insulin,
right?
Because their body doesn't produce it, where a type 2, basically, their insulin gets increased. Their blood sugars go high, where in type 1, they go low most of the time.
Yes, I understand. My grandson is a type 1 diabetic, and they're all the time... monitoring what he's eating. He has an insulin pump and so forth. And my wife is borderline for type 2, and I'm trying to get her to stop soft drinks. And I haven't succeeded fully, but she's been cutting down. And her eating pattern is similar to yours, Monty, except she doesn't do the breakfast. But we typically eat quite early because Sandra likes to do that. And I tend to have a really fast metabolism or something, so I need to eat quite a bit, or I just run out of steam, it seems like.
Doug, I think that's one of the things when, you know, we've all read, and Ruth, you know, we talk about it a lot, and that is, and Mary Lou just mentioned it a minute ago, and that is we each of us have to listen to our own body and determine what's helpful and beneficial for us. And I think that's one of the keys of good health is listening and then responding to what is good or bad, and then changing that is bad.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to change things. As you know, I may not have been doing, well, I know I've done a lot of things wrong to the last couple of years, but I started exercising before eating when I was over in Japan, and I've continued to do that here. Like, I postponed eating today because I just didn't have time to exercise before this call. So I've got my food out there staying warm, I hope, till I get a chance to exercise. And it keeps the belly fat pretty much down on me. I do eat a lot of calories, though, and it doesn't go the same place it does on my wife. She ate like me. She ballooned up terrible. So we don't eat the same because we're different people.
Oh. Since we started this program in January of last year, I've lost 24 pounds. Now, that's not a huge amount of weight loss, but the reason I'm excited about it is because my body is slowly, I'm doing it slow rather than last time when I did it was so fast, and I just think that by doing it the way that it's happening to me now is so much more helpful to my body than losing it fast in a 3 or 4 or 5 month time frame.
Yeah, that's the slower it comes off, the more likely it's going to stay off. So, Dr. Mercola here, he puts it, you know, kind of story at a glance. So just four little key points that we covered this morning before we close for the day. And by the way, thank you so much, Monty, for sharing, and also you, Doug. Because it's really what works for us, and what you have to share, you know, may it probably or could help somebody that's listening in on the call. So research suggests that when you eat could be just as important as what you eat, and possibly even more so. The mice that fasted for 16 hours a day stayed lean and healthy, even when fed a high-calorie diet. Their mouse counterparts that had access to food day and night became obese and showed blood sugar and liver problems despite eating the same number of calories. And other research suggests fasting triggers a variety of health-promoting hormonal and metabolic changes similar to those that occur when you exercise, offering protection against chronic disease. And that's our goal. Fasting does not mean starving yourself. Options for intermittent fasting include skipping breakfast, cutting off your food intake in the early evening, like Monty does, or late afternoon, or even simply delaying meals, such as breakfast, until after you exercise, like Doug did. So how about that? That's the story at a glance. That's what we talked about this morning.
Oh, wow, really great.
Thank you, Ruth. You saved my life.
You're welcome. I'll do that a little more often.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing it all up again. Beneficial.
Yes. Okay, you guys. Have an anybody have any last-minute questions or comments before we hang up?
I have a comment. You know, we've seen all these different programs, not eating meat, not doing this, everything. You cannot eat any oil, et cetera. And it still comes back to listen to your body, like Monty was saying. Just listen to it. And so then, you know, when I saw this, it just really caught my eye. This is what works for my body. I don't know if it'll work for everybody's, but having Monty share what he shared, that really added some weight, a big weight, I think, to this idea of not eating, having to eat first thing in the morning or you're going to have a bad day. So anyway, thanks, Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then we've all want to start fasting. No eating late at night either. So, hey, you guys, thank you. This has been a great call. I know I learned something. And have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Thanks, Mary Lou.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Don't get too cold down there.
Oh, it's warming up again today. It's going to be in the 80s before too long, a couple days.
Darn.
Snowing
bye-bye.
Here.
Right.
Oh, snowing in Wenatchee.
Yeah, in Wenatchee.
I'd be put three. Bye.